Okay, my friends, I'd like to speak about this week's parasha, Parashas Vayera, but also last week's parasha. Okay, because at the end of last week's parasha, very good, excellent. Last week's parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to go, and he goes. And then it doesn't seem to work, and Moshe Rabbeinu comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Lama Ariyos, Lama Zev, Lama Shashlachtoni, why'd you do this, why'd you send me? And then Ben Ezra asked the obvious question, what type of question is that? Why did I send you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to send you, and he's not going to listen. Hashem warned him about that. The power's going along with the script, so what's Moshe Rabbeinu's problem? Lama Ariyos, Lama Zev, Lama Shashlachtoni, because if I didn't listen, of course he's not going to listen. I told you he's not going to listen. So what's, and this means Parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, like, you know, it's going to be okay. So what happened exactly over here? Says the Ibn Ezra, Pashit Pshat. Now you have to know something. Different Mepharshim give you different insights. Like the Ibn Ezra is a Pashtun. He's all into Pshat. He's into like breaking down words, understanding the Pashit Pshat. That's what he does. Some people like love that type of learning. And then you have the more like mystical type of approach, like the Or HaChaim. And then you have the type of approach, like the commentary, like the Ramban, who goes into like into in-depth analysis and different things. So different Mepharshim will give you different things. Says the Ibn Ezra, I'll tell you what Pshat is. Pshat is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Paro wasn't going to listen. He knew that that was the script. What he didn't understand is that not only did Paro not listen, but it actually got worse. It got worse after Moshe came. So if Paro doesn't listen, Moshe's okay with that. But why is it getting worse? Lama hari oysa la'om hazeh. Lama seh shlachtani. Why is it getting worse? Moshe comes on the scene, and then Paro says, you know what? We have to expect more of these people, demand more of them, they're being lazy, and all of a sudden, it's just the overwhelming, back-breaking work that they had became totally intolerable. Moshe said, why because of me is it getting worse? That's what, and the question is, what's taka the answer? What's the pshat of that? When Moshe Rabbeinu came on the scene, all of a sudden it got worse. So listen to this stunning pshat from the Shvi'i Pinchas. You're going to have to follow because there's a lot of interesting moving parts over here, but we're going to say it as follows. Here it goes. The Medrash says that there are four Lashonos of Geula. V'hoitzeisi, v'itzalti, v'go'alti, v'lokachti. Four Lashonos of a Geula. There's a fifth one, kind of, that's v'heveisi, but we're going to leave that out because that's not, that's a little bit more, that's a little extra. There's four main Lashonos of Geula. That's why we have four Kaisas. Four questions, a lot of four going on Pesach. And there's the four Lashonos of Geula, V'hoitzeisi, V'itzalti, V'go'alti, V'lokachti. Those four are all said in this week's parasha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take the Jewish people out. V'hoitzeisi, V'itzalti, V'go'alti, V'lokachti. Now what's interesting is, three of them are in one Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentions all three of them together in one Pasuk. And then in the next Pasuk, he mentions the last one. So what's interesting as follows, the Pasuk says, these four, the Medrash tells us that these four is why we're mesakin to have the four kaisas of Yayin on the night of the Seder. And the Baal Turim says something fascinating. Says the Baal Turim, we are familiar with four different Golios in our history. The four are Bavel, Modai, Yavan, and Edoim. Bavel, they're the ones that destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. Modai is the time of Mordechai. Edoim is the time of, Yavan is in the time of Chanukah, and Edoim is in our times. That's our Golos is called Golos Edoim. That's the Golos we're still in. The Golos of Rome. Four Golios, the four Lashonos of Geulas is the Baal HaTurim, is to hint to us, to signify that Klal Yisrael will also have four future geulas, four geulas and four geulas, these four. And he says that, why is the fourth one called v'lokachti, v'hoitzeisi, v'itzalti, v'go'alti, v'lokachti? Lokachti, says the Baal Turim, is a stronger lashon. Because the last geulas is going to take a lot of work. Stronger lokachti, says the Baal Turim, ka'adam lokeach b'chozka shu kashe mikulam. We are in the most difficult geulas. The one we're experiencing, the longest gullus, the most difficult gullus, and that's why that's going to be redeemed with the lashon of v'lokachti. Says the Megala Amukos, for that reason, The first three lashanas are all in one pasuk, because they're all like, they're all in one category. The fourth galus, the galus that we're in, galus Edom, is in a category all its own. This is a rough galus. We can relate. And that's why this one gets its own pasuk. Fascinating, listen to this. We have something similar, says the Megala HaMukos. There are four animals that are discussed in the Torah as being Temeim. There is the Gamal, the Shafan, the Arnevet, and the Chazir. The first three are all in one pasuk. And then there comes the Chazir. Chazir! That's in its own pasuk. Says the Megala HaMukos. Chazir Treif! Chazir, this is the chazir is for sure the worst of the animals. We speak about someone, it's chazir treif. Chazir. There's the first three, or can I get the first three galus? The behema tumea, that is trying to control Klal Yisrael. The fourth is Edoim, that's what we're in, is chazir. We're in the galus of chazir, and it's got its own pasuk. So this is what we're seeing that, and he brings over here from the Medrash says, Moshe nasan shloshtam pasuk echot, Chazir is its own pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan says Sheshkula Keneged Shloshtan. Chazir Treif is worse than the other three. What does that mean? Now we understand that this represents a stronger amount of tumah, and the galus that we're in, we're experiencing that. Says the Megala HaMukos, it gets deeper. Megala HaMukos means he reveals deep things, and it gets deeper. Listen to this interesting thing. When Yaakov Avinu went to Charan, you know what the word Charan means? Well, if those don't know Hebrew well, Charoin Af. What does that mean? Anger. Charoin. He went to Charan. He went to anger. And he saw over there three Edrei Tzoyin. There was three shepherds. Roib Tzimalea. They were like, they were crowding around the well. They were crouching around the well. And there was an Even Gedoyla al Pia Be'er, and this major stone. Three shepherds, they were all crouching around the Be'er, and a big stone. What are these three shepherds, and what's the big stone? Says the Megala HaMukos, these three shepherds are remes to the three Goliaths of Bavel, Madai, and Yavon. They're crouching, they're kind of like trying to control the Be'er. The Be'er is where we draw out the Mayim. It's where we get our inspiration. And there's a huge stone on the Be'er. That's our Golus. The huge stone is Golus Edom. Yeah. And so that is what we're saying over here, is this idea that we're speaking about. Now, we mentioned before that the four Lashonos of Geula, Hotzeisi, Vitzalti, V'Goalti, V'Lakachti, is Keneged the four Golias. The Shaila is, what do they have to do with Mitzrayim? Why are we making this remes? We're talking about the Golias of Bavel in Mitzrayim, of Edom, of Madai, Yavon. Why are we talking about this in Mitzrayim? Listen to this amazing Arizal. The Pasuk says in the beginning of the Torah, again, a remes to these four Goliaths. The Pasuk says the following thing. V'haaretz ha'isa soyu v'voyu. V'haaretz ha'isa soyu v'voyu. V'choyshech al p'nei sohoyim. Says the Medrash. Haaretz ha'isa soyu was empty. Golus Bavel. U'voyu is Madai. Choyshech is Yavon. Al p'nei sohoyim is Edom. These four descriptions of like, the barrenness is the Golus. Yes, Arizal, where is Mitzrayim in this picture? Where's Golus Mitzrayim in this picture? Why is there no remes anywhere to Golus Mitzrayim? Says the Arizal something fascinating. He says that the four Golias, and we're finished with our fours here, we did a lot of fours, are connected to the four letters of the Shem Hashem. Yud, and hey, vav, and hey, in that order. The first yud is keneged Madai, Bavel, Madai, Yavon, and Edom. Bavel, Madai, Yavon, and Edom, in that order. Where's Mitzrayim? So, Mitzrayim is the kutzoy shel yud. the Kutzo Shel Yud is like, it's just that little, the little bit, the like, the little point of the Yud. The first Yud. There's, the way the Yud starts. Mitzrayim is just like that little, it's kind of like just a small, like a seed of all of the gullies. It's the Kutzo Shel Yud, it's where everything starts from. It starts from Mitzrayim. He says that's the pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayakutzu mipnei bnei Yisrael." Says the bnei Yisachar. Vayakutzu mipnei bnei Yisrael. What is vayakutzu? They get like it was like a thorn. It says it's the kutzai shel yud. In other words, everything kind of started. It's like an embryo almost of in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the beginning of all of the galus. Says the chida. That's the pshat. Eile shmois b'nei Yisrael, haboyim mitzrayimah. Take the word boyim. Boyim is Rosh Hashanah, Bavel, Modai, Yavon, and Edom. Boyim, Bavel, Edom, Yavon, Modai. Boyim is Eile shmois b'nei Yisrael, haboyim mitzrayimah. They were coming to Mitzrayim, but really they were coming to all of the Galius. Because it all started with Mitzrayim. So it's all really there. Now, my friends. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he says, now we can understand the beginning of this week's parasha. Va'era al Avram el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts talking to Moshe. What is happening here? We have four Galias, we have four Geulas. Four Galias, four Geulas. The first three Geulas we're going to have are in the Schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What is the fourth Geula? Who is it going to be in Schus of? Moshe. In other words, our Galus that we're going through is going to be in the Schus of Moshe. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe. Va'eru al Avram, al Yitzchak, al Yaakov. So they started this. Va'tzeisi v'tzalti v'go'alti. V'lokachti is going to be in the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's how this all started over here. The three Galus, Shagah, Chodesh Baruch Hu, where is Schus of the three Avais? The Gula Asida is going to be in the Schus of Moshe. I think we even mentioned last week, the Archaim Kodesh says, for that reason, until Klal Yisrael starts learning Torah, you could do Chesed, you could do Tefillah, you could be a nice guy. Until we start learning Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is not maskim to do the Gula. This is my Torah. You're Mezalzel, my Torah. I'm supposed to bring Mashiach. Not happening, says the Archaim Kodesh. We have to become B'nai Torah. In that Schus, Moshe will come. Which is Paul's Galius. I'm in the Schus of Moshe. So perhaps we can understand as follows. Mitzrayim, we said, is kind of like, it's a synopsis of all the other Galius. So somewhere in Mitzrayim, we're going to have the Galus of Edom. Remember, the Galus of Edom is the hardest Galus. It's the longest Galus. It has its own pasuk for that reason. Just like the Chazer has its own pasuk. So too, V'lokachti has its own pasuk. The word L'kachti means that I'm going to have to be extra strong because this is a more difficult Galus. So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes on the scene, all of a sudden the Galus gets harder. Why is it getting harder? Because the Galus of Edom is going to be a harder Galus. And in order for Moshe Rabbeinu to take us out from that galus, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a drop. Moshe, you come on the scene when it's going to be in your schus. Up until now, Klal Yisrael was kind of like they were surviving in the schus of the others. But when Moshe comes on the scene, now we're talking about the galus of Edom, which is the galus that we are going through. It's the longest, and it's also the hardest. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make the Gullus become, the Gullus Mitzrayim, reflect that. It's a reflection of that Gullus. So for that reason, the Gullus is going to be more difficult when Moshe comes. And Hashem says, it's intentional it gets more difficult, because for you to be the Goyal, for Moshe Rabbeinu to take us out, it has to be the reflection of that Gullus that we have of Edom, and it gets even harder. So what we're experiencing now, we have something called Maisa Avos Simen Labanan. Maisa Avos means that something that happened to the Avos is going to be an indication of what's going to happen to us. The fact that what we're struggling through, we've been told by many of our Rabbanim is the most nesioinus. It could be it's easier in Gashmius. We have a very easy time. This is perhaps the easiest galus, what we're experiencing now in Gashmius. But in Ruchnius, this is the most difficult and challenging of all the galus. I once from Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he asked the question, which is the worst galus that Klal Yisrael ever experienced in their history? Through many different challenging galus, which is the worst one we've ever had? Moshe Shapiro said a shir in Hebrew. First he said in Yiddish, he switched it to Hebrew, but he didn't say it in English. But he quickly changed to English. He said, I'm sorry to tell you this, boys, but it's Galus America. Galus America is the worst galus we've ever had. If you understand how many Yidden came to America, based on the norms of sociology, we should have around 100 million Jews in America today. So 92 million Yidden are lost, disappeared off the face of the earth. How did that happen? It's not because we have a hard time with our Gashmias. It's because we have a hard time with our Ruchnias. But this is a very, very challenging galus that we're going through right now. The challenge that we have is to be able to fight the temptations of the world. And the way to do that is through connecting to Torah. That's the only way. Chazal tells us it's the only way. Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi, Torah, Tavla. The only thing is Torah. There's nothing else that's going to do it. And if a person doesn't connect to Torah, so then there's no way for him to get out of the grips of the Yetzirah. But Rav Dessler said, if you look at Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlon, what does Torah Tavlon mean? I understand Torah is the antidote, is the word I would use. It's the antidote to the Yetzirah. It's like the potion that will work against the Yetzirah. But it doesn't say that. Tavlon means it's a spice. It's a spice. How is Torah a spice? Makes it sound like you can eat your Yetzirah better. It's like you have your Yetzirah with Torah. Says Rav Dessler, yeah, that's the pshat. Because Torah doesn't just diffuse the Yetzirah. It channels all of that. The person has like these raging taivas and passions and he wants the pleasure. You can have all that just if a person connects with Torah. So then all of that feeling of that desire to have this enjoyment in the world, he can get through Torah. We once had a very special person speak here. His name was Rabbi Uri Zohar. Rabbi Uri Zohar called himself a bohemian. I'm not really sure what that means 100%, but there's this saying he was a bohemian. He used to live on the sea. He had a house on the ocean, on the Mediterranean, and Uri Zohar was the biggest entertainer in America, in Eretz Yisrael, by far. By far. There was no one even close to Uri Zohar in Eretz Yisrael. He was a radio show personality. He wrote movies. He acted in movies. He was like the of the here in Israel. And he had everything. And he decided he wanted to become from. Uri Zohar today has a long beard, wears his tzitzis over his shirt, and he lives in Sorotskin. And he's like a very, 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 very from person. So when he was speaking here, he was a neighbor to Rabbi Erlinger, so he came to speak twice in yeshiva. He said when he realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said one thing. He said, I'm enjoying my life so much. Give me that enjoyment in the Daf Gemara. Let me have the same pleasure that I'm enjoying outside of the world. Give it to me in the Gemara. And he said, Hashem gave it to me. It didn't happen overnight. It was a process till I got there. But I have so much, all the pleasure that I had before, because Baruch Hu gave me now. And I'm enjoying my life. And he lives a very simple life. There are people that say he doesn't even have beds. He sleeps on mattresses on the floor because he spent all of his money to buy back his movies. He wanted the copyright in the movies. You can't get a movie with Uri Zohar now because he felt like that was his form of tshuva. He's a poor man today. He had to move out of his one apartment that he had to another apartment because he had to downsize his apartments. He lives in a small apartment with his wife, and he's happy. He said, I'm a happy person. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me that simcha. A person can, if he has a kinyan to Torah, so not only Does it help him fight against the Yetzer? It gives him all the pleasure a person can possibly want. We daven for it. V'harevnu Hashem Elokeinu. Make Torah sweet for me. I want to enjoy this. I want to have a good time in this world. Could have all of the pleasures that can possibly come to this world a person can have if he's connected. That will bring the geula. If we have our shaychus to Torah, dedication to Torah, and we have our commitment, and we work on our limud haTorah, Be'ez Hashem, we should be zeichah to uvalati and goyah, we should be zeichah to Mashiach Tzikeinu, b'mheira v'yameinu, amen. Thank you very much for listening.